I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
This week on Below Deck Mediterranean, Chef Tom continued to express his frustrations about the job, this time in response to receiving warm fish from the provisioner. Yum. Captain Sandy explained her reasons for telling Malia to stay out of Tom's galley on BravoTV.com's exclusive Below Deck Med After Show, saying that she started to see her spiral. Plus, Malia weighed in on breaking up Jess and Rob's makeout session on deck, calling Rob a, quote, deep soul. And Rob and Jess revealed what happened during their guest cabin date night. I think we know what happened. And remember, some of the voices you'll hear beyond the crew members are Below Deck Med executive producer Nadine Rajabi and our very own podcast guest, Josh Brown. He's the VP of Bravo's current production, aka the people who know all the secrets. Let's take a listen.
Aisha asks during dinner with Alex and Bugsy, Aisha asks if there is... She asked if there's sexual tension between you and Bugsy.
On like a day-to-day basis, is there sexual tension between you two, or is it just a drunk thing?
With who?
You two.
Oh, Bugsy, answer that question.
Yeah. No sexual tension.
No sexual tension?
Yep, thank you. Bugsy just does this. And just like doesn't say a word. It's like, just freezes up. And I respond very truthfully.
Well, I mean, maybe she thinks that way, but I mean, on a... No, I like Bugs on an actual level. Well, that's not awkward.
I just felt like it doesn't really need to be something that's discussed at the table. I think Aisha is sometimes the queen of inappropriateness. Like, pushes people out their comfort zones quite a bit. But at that point, I think I was just really tired. We'd come out of a charter, and Alex and I felt like we're in a good space. And then all of a sudden, this, like, question, like, we hadn't even discussed this, but like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't even think we were aware of, or clearly he was, but it wasn't really something I'd ever thought about. So I just felt like it was like wrong time, wrong place to have that question asked. And even still, if it was like asked in the right time and right place, I think it's a very personal thing. It's not something that I'd really be free to like be able to answer in front of the whole crew.
Put you in an awkward spot and you work with everybody.
Exactly. Imagine. And then like at the same time, it's like, again, it's not a hierarchy thing, but you know, it's just like, you're also in a position of like responsibility. I don't really need to be discussing that with the rest of the crew.
You can kind of see that they're like trying to flirt with each other and stuff. So I just wondered if like something was maybe going on, because they seem like that suit, you know. Alex, I feel like, is the one who I definitely connected with the most. Like, I think he's very like me. Like, he's just very honest and open and wears his heart on his sleeve, and he's just going to say what he thinks. Whereas I think Bugsy's a lot more, you know, she's a lot more private and conservative and held back and that kind of thing. So I think it's, you know, it makes sense that Alex is going to be like, yeah, and Bugsy is like, oh no, you know. You know, because she's the kind of person, she wouldn't, unless she was actually like dating someone, she wouldn't want to admit that they're like, there's something going on, you know.
I don't know if Aisha made like sexual tension, like meaning like, oh, like you guys want to like hook up, or like I took it as the way like I'm into this person, like that type of like, what's the tension there? Because like we flirt, but like it's not like from the crew members of how we talk. Maybe she took it in a way that she thought it was like a sex question, and I took it the other way.
It also kind of caused quite a bit of tension then for Alex and I, because he was like, well, I just embarrassed myself by saying yes and you said no, so that's like embarrassing for me. So
And then both of you are overthinking.
Yeah, exactly. I just felt like, it was just an inappropriate question for that sort of time.
It kind of makes me look like an ass. I'm like,
I don't think that way. You're speaking your truth.
No, I know. But like, you know, just sometimes in moments, like, you know, happens like with you and Jess, is like, you know, I say these things and then like I said, if you're embarrassed or you're to talk out loud in front of other people, I get that. But it was just like the silence was just like, that was a slap in the face.
No, I like Bugs on an actual level.
It's nice.
Why don't you just give me the worst look?
I just ate a lot of pepper.
Well, that's not awkward.
She comes over next to me at dinner, like, was trying to, like, hold my hand afterwards, and was like, no, I'm sorry, this and that, like, whispering to me. I'm like it's fine. Like, I wasn't mad. It was just, like, awkward that, like, you know, I got put on the spot, and I say it, and then you're just like, whatever. You know, you can whisper things to me. But when it comes to the spotlight, that's what, you know, that's the things that kind of, that I thought about.
I want to hold your hand.
Tom, you received warm fish from the provisioner, and that caused a bit of a ripple effect.
Yeah.
Fish being delivered in the back of a car. It's baking in that thing. This looks bad on me again. It's a f***ing joke. Hello, hello, hello. Hell. I'm done. I'm f***ing done. I cannot do it.
What happened there?
That's not a provisioner. I don't know who the hell that was. Just a random person with some warm fish in the back of a car.
We have some fresh lobsters.
They are super fresh.
Cool, thank you. More fish being delivered in the back of a car. It's baking in that thing. It's a joke. This needs to come in a refrigerated van.
It wasn't on ice. It was in a carrier bag in the back of a bloody Vauxhall Corsa. Like, that's not provisioning. Provisioning vehicles, they're big refrigerated vans. The provisioner doesn't open the door until, like, the chef's there and, like, has a look over everything. That's just, like, that was just a fight. So, yeah, it was warm.
It's just arrived and it's 12 Celsius. Anything over 5, you refuse. It's a f***ing joke. This is f***ing insane.
I say it's dangerously warm. Nobody necessarily would die if you eat that. That's not the point. But there's the potential for it. And that's the problem. You can't take that chance. And also, you're paying bloody good money for it. It needs to be the best.
When your provisions don't come in how they're supposed to be, and the fish is too warm, and you have your meal planned, for a chef, that's catastrophic for them, right? Because they've ordered a certain amount of food to carry them through this next charter. And I get it. Like, he was struggling. And so me reaching out to the owner of the who owns the provision company was my way of helping.
I just wanted to call you because our fish order came in carrier bags and not on ice.
And, you know, at the end of it, he does melt down with me.
This is so f***ing unfair.
She's going to get the fresh fish. Where is it? She's going to get the fresh fish.
Okay, the fish is not a problem at the moment, Sandy. Thank you.
I think that bread looks good.
That bread's burnt. That bread's going in the bin right
now.
Okay, it's not. But please, it's f***ing burnt, all right?
Yeah, and he's
a chef. Don't try and humor me at the moment.
Come on.
Yeah, and as Tom starts to spiral, you pull Malia out of the galley.
Come with me.
He needs to come. Stop saving you. Stop.
He needs to come to me. You're not the captain. Listen, here's the deal. Stay out of the galley.
Tom never came to me directly, right? So I think he always had that established as he got on board that Malia was his go-to. And Malia became his filter. And she's now being stressed even more because the responsibility she feels by bringing her boyfriend on. And I needed her out of the galley so she could remove herself from that stressful situation and be able to do her job effectively.
You know, Tom was just telling me his frustrations. And when it got to Captain Sandy, it was because Tom was like trying to put everything away. Like, he was literally tied to the galley. But yeah, I see where she's coming from. Like, stay out of it. It's not your department. I think she might've jumped in a little too early because it's his department and he's trying to sort it out. So I was just trying to help, like, figure out what we're doing, because also I'm worrying about departure time. Like, do we need to wait for this fish? Is there new fish coming? It was just a chaos.
But he needs help putting this provisions away.
Stay out of the galley. Anybody but you.
He's going to walk off the boat.
Well, let him walk.
What I saw was Malia starting to spiral because she felt so responsible for Tom, because I think Tom started to spiral. Malia doesn't spiral. Malia is a solid, sound person. But I think when you add your person that has your heart, it's hard to stay focused.
These things happen. Like, bad provisions come right as you're trying to get off the dock. And it's cool that as viewers, you get to see it, because these are problems that happen on yachts, like real life, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I get where she's coming from. Like, stay out of the galley, leave them to it. But I guess we could probably say that to her too.
After you and Tom have that clash in the galley, we see him apologize to you.
Well, the thing is, like, he apologized, but he apologized with an explanation.
Hey, I'm really sorry about how I spoke to you yesterday.
Oh, thank you.
I wasn't pissed off at you, obviously, but
yeah.
I was really pissed off.
And I just think, like, if anyone apologizes with a, oh, but rah, rah, it's not really a genuine apology. It's like, you're either sorry or you're not. But if you're sorry, but you're going to explain yourself, it's not really a true apology to me. Maybe he did feel bad. I don't know. But maybe like Malia had a word with him or something. I've got no idea.
I did apologize because I don't mean to be rude to anyone. And if I am, I'll always apologize.
Yeah. It just didn't make sense that, like, you're all adults, you all know how to use a knife.
Yeah.
It just f***ed me off, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm sorry I took it out on you. That wasn't my intention.
I really appreciate it.
It didn't seem right just to immediately say, hey, Asia, I'm sorry about that, and just kind of be flippant. And I wanted to kind of give it the time that it deserves. If I need to apologize to someone, I'll do it properly. And so, yeah, wait until there's nobody around because I don't want her to feel awkward about it. And then, and just say, look, hey, I'm sorry about that. It was a misunderstanding.
We're exhausted and we snap. You know, it's just kind of like when I called the boys.
Are you still in your mind about defying some direct order?
About you two just doing that?
You just have those moments where you snap and then later you're like, okay, guys, I get it. It's not your fault. I was snappy, but yeah.
I did really appreciate the fact that he apologized. And, you know, like I'm not going to like hold on to something and I'm not going to hold grudges. But I think I used to be very like, I wanted to be everyone's friend and I wanted everyone to like me and Rara. But I think as I've gotten older, I've kind of realized there's so many different personalities in the world. It just like, statistically speaking, it's like, of course you're not going to be friends with everyone and your personalities aren't going to gel with everyone, and that's totally okay. You know, it's not a bad thing. And so I thought it was nice that he apologized, and so I was kind of like, took his apology and now we're fine and now we'll just keep professional. You know, like, you don't have to try and go back and like try and be really good friends with someone. You can just leave it as like a professional relationship.
Seeing Asia in that situation, it made me feel horrible for her because it was a very raw moment. And that's being on a small boat, living and working with the same people. I mean, I know that I wouldn't want to live with the people that I work with. No offense, everyone, but true story.
What are you talking about?
Rob, you have a moment with Jess on the deck. You're out of uniform and Malia finds you both and kind of reprimands you.
Hey guys, you can't be up here doing this with guests awake. Neither of you are in uniform.
Yeah, I get it. It's kind of like that unwritten rule. It's just you don't display that kind of thing in front of crew or out, you know, on the vessel. Like, keep that to yourself. And I completely understand. But like, you just get caught up in your own world and your own little in the moments and stuff like that. And it's just like, I get it. Just let me be me. I'm just I don't know how to explain it.
I think Rob is just a very sensitive person. He's, you know, he's like a deep soul. He, you know, takes everything to heart, and he knows that I absolutely love him and like as a person. But what I had to get across to him is there's me on deck and then there's me as your friend, you know, later. Like, there's going to be a difference sometimes. I'm not always going to be, you know, smiles and rainbows. I am going to yell at you sometimes if you mess up. Guests are right there.
Everyone needs a
big time. The rules are in yachting. If the guests are awake, you got to be in uniform when you're on deck. Thank you.
Just like Captain Sandy, she might love all of us as friends and hang out with us as people, but when we're on deck, we're running a yacht and it's not time for like small chat, or I'm going to be really direct sometimes. I'm going to be harsh sometimes.
Are you still in your mind about defying some direct order?
About you two just doing that?
It's rude.
Say, that's just how it goes. I think coming in as bosun, that was one of the things that I was, you know, nervous about. Like, how do I talk to the guys on deck and whatever? But I think for me, it's exactly that. Like, when I'm on deck, I'm just doing my job. Personal stuff, that's all second to work.
I remember Malia kind of just being like, listen, come back, you know, because you're focusing too much on other things. It made me realize, it's like, yeah, no, it's like, I am, this has affected my work.
You tired?
No, I'm just checked out a little bit.
You need sleep?
No, I'm rested. I'm in my head.
I don't want to come out here and see you and Jess kissing on the aft deck when things just aren't done.
Like, that's my reprieve, like going to work and going to detach and that kind of, I enjoy that. And I wasn't focused on it. I was focused on other things and trying to make sense of a relationship and how to make things work. And that was my main focus outside of, learning lessons, you know?
The crew played against the guests in Ultimate Frisbee and you guys lost.
We would have won if I was there. You guys embarrassed me.
Oh, for sake.
We're in trouble here.
I've never played this game before, and then, like, you know, they chose their best team. So, like, we kind of going off each other's strengths as best as we could.
What's funny about Ultimate Frisbee is you got to see it through the eyes of people who are international, who are not American, and it made you realize how American, you know, Ultimate Frisbee is.
Yeah.
That's one thing that I love about Below Deck Med is seeing what they think of American culture through their eyes.
I remember when we had a hoedown season one, you know, Hannah was like, where do I get, you know, bales of hay? She'd even mispronounce it. She was calling it hails of bale.
It would be cool if we could get like a big thing of hails of bales.
What?
Hay bale.
A hay bale, yeah.
Right, I remember that.
So, you know, that was a fun guest activity, but you know, they lost the match and they had to wear Speedos.
Man, it must be annoying having nuts.
Right.
Wow. That's great.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, you got me in a Speedo.
What was the inspiration for the Speedos?
So, like, randomly, I was out shopping for the board, and I was doing, like, some provisioning for decor for the tables and, like, for the parties we had. And I, like, was in this random shop in Spain and found these Speedos. And we were having, like, a naughty night theme, and I saw one of the guests had their own Speedo, and I was like, that's fine. Losers always Speedos to dinner. But this is me thinking that our crew are going to go and dominate. And I was like, can't wait to see them. Next minute, it backfires and we're doing it, which was hilarious.
Oh, I gave myself a nice big sh-
What?
We were all packing.
Yo, yo, yo!
I really like doing that. And I think that's one thing that I did really like about Bugsy, because, like, you know, I've never really been on a boat before where we've ever, like, dressed up for theme nights or anything like that. But it's always, like, you know, it's always nice to have, like, added excitement and some sort of added bit of fun to make our jobs a bit more interesting. So I did really like how Bugsy kind of kept trying to bring in different things like that. So, yeah, I really enjoyed being able to wear the Speedos. I thought it was quite funny.
But the thing that got to me was, like, I remember Sandy coming to me and she was like, no, you have to wear the Speedo without the skirt. And I was like, no, Sandy, we're not doing that. And she's like, you guys lost. Like, wear the Speedos properly. And I was like, no, we're not doing that. And I think she came to me like five times, she was like laughing. And she was like, take the skirts off and just wear the Speedo. That's the deal. And I was like, there's no way.
I remember I was like, I'm not, yeah.
Tom and Aisha have a big clash about cucumbers and avocados.
Is that what it's about?
He was like, literally, I'm on my break. Can you not slice a cucumber?
I love Tom.
And nothing to do with it. I don't even know what's going on.
All right, calm down with the waterworks.
Why are you giving me attitude?
Just calm down.
I think I'm still on break when this was happening. And I just remember Aisha coming in and crying. And being very upset about, you know, what Tom had said to her.
What's wrong? Tom and I just had an argument. He's so grumpy. I just happened to hear from my radio Captain Sandy saying something about cucumbers. So I was like, oh, there'll be those girls wanting a snack. Mm-hmm. So by the time I got into the galley, Tom comes up and he's like, are you serious? Cucumber.
But at the same time, I knew Tom also had pressure on himself. So I don't know. Usually I just feel awkward if I'm not there to actually view the situation firsthand. It makes it a lot harder to kind of jump in and start like having a go at someone. Whereas like if I'd been there and it was like completely in the wrong, I would have stepped in.
Seeing Aisha run to Bugsy, that was a very raw moment. I remember watching everything in the control room when this is all going down. And, you know, Aisha was kind of like an innocent bystander and all this stuff. And I realized in that moment that Tom was really upset. And like, I think it could have been anybody there and he could have taken it out on anybody. And that does not excuse it at all. Like, cause I don't think it was directed at Aisha. Had it been Bugs, she would have gotten yelled at too. The one thing that Bugsy does really well is that she's really able to diffuse situations. And I think in that moment, she was able to diffuse that situation.
I'm sorry. It's okay. Don't stress about it. Obviously, you're so cute. Obviously, you're just kind of like caught up by Sandy.
No,
you know what I mean?
It's fine.
And you're going on break. Yeah. You don't have to go back up.
Yeah, no, thank God.
You know, at the end of the day, yes, Bugsy's not the boat therapist, but she also has a job to do, and that is keeping her interior intact at peace.
I think the whole time Tom and I had pretty good relationship. And to be honest, I felt like there was a lot more pressure for Tom and I to get along because of the fact, like, that my sister's friends with him, you know, Malia's my friend, she's dating him. So I think there was like an added pressure for him to, him and I, like in the work sense as chief stew chef, to be very like civil towards one another, because there's a lot at stake if not. Within saying that, like at the same time, I am very protective over my stewardesses. I always have been like that. When I have my team, like if the chef's going to be a dick to someone in my team, it doesn't sit well with me.
Tom has to deliver his food. She has to keep him on track. Her girls have to stay on task, you know, make the guests happy. And if you have one part of the wheel, if you're not firing all cylinders and they're not all working, you're going to have a broken machine. And, you know, she is the epicenter of that machine of trying to keep all the pistons going and, you know, juggle all the plates. And that's a really difficult job for anybody as a department head to do.
The interesting thing that struck me about how Bugsy, you know, manages as a chief stew, I was actually just watching this in a cut today. You could tell she has a lot of experience, because when Tom starts to get stressed, he's putting a lot of pressure on himself. He's a perfectionist. He wants to do great. Bugsy is not adding to the stress. Like, she really steps back and, you know, lets him vent and kind of diffuses the situation.
Quite a few of them had shells in the ashes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Are you able to do another round for three people or not?
It's going
to
take like,
okay, I'll let them.
While.
No, no, I
can do it. It's just going to take a while.
I'll sort it out. You've got lobster next, right?
Yeah.
No worries.
You know, I think other chief stews might not do that, but she knows that, you know, when the chef is very focused on making a perfect meal, you have to sort of step back a little bit. I thought that was really an interesting management style when I saw it.
After the charter, everyone goes out to dinner, but you and Jess decide to stay back and stay in a guest cabin.
Yeah.
Cute little date night. I love you.
Oh, yes.
Don't worry, babe. I'll turn off the light. How's that for you?
Was it nice to have that alone time with Jess?
Yeah, it really was, having that alone time when we were able to go into that guest cabin and just be free, you know?
Listen, I want everyone to have a good time, but I will never unhear those sounds again. It's interesting because I wasn't physically there when they were on the yacht. It was our co-executive producer, Brittany, and I came back to the boat and Brittany goes, oh God, oh God. And we were like laughing about it. And listen, I'm not talking behind Jess and Rob. We've all had a laugh about it. I'll never unhear that again.
I was surprised that Bugsy said yes to that.
Would you care if Rob and I just chilled tonight and then sleep in a guest cabin?
I'm not that familiar with protocol with that sort of thing, like asking to stay in a guest cabin. But, you know, it seemed like she wasn't quite sure, but then said, okay, you know, it's not hurting anyone, you know.
And I think that she thought that Jess was really trying too, Josh, like in that sense.
Yeah.
Like, and she wanted to reward her in that. And, you know, sometimes you've got to do things to keep people happy.
When you're on a boat, obviously, it's not a normal circumstance because you're with someone 24/7, you're working with them, you're friends with them and hanging out with them and going out and drinks and dinner. It's just nonstop. You're with somebody. So it's like when you're normally dating somebody, you have like, you know, two dates a week or whatever the average is, and you go from it's 0 to 100 on a yacht.
You don't have the option to kind of date in a conventional way. You know, you don't get the option to, well, maybe Rob will see Jess on a Saturday night and then he won't see her again until maybe the following Friday or something like that, or maybe they'll meet up in the week or something. You're living with each other, you're socializing with each other, you're working with each other all the time. So yeah, it's pretty intense.
Like, I think it was needed in our relationship, being able to be free and away from everything. It was definitely needed.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Yeah. Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long.
You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss.